So, Father God, we give you praise and glory this morning. We are so grateful to be here in your house, so grateful to be here in your house online with the people of God. Wherever we are gathered, two or three, even virtually, you are in the midst of us. You've promised that, and so we know you're here. We know you're with us. Lord, we just take a moment to breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in and breathe out. Lord, knowing that every time we inhale your spirit, your very life is in us. We give you praise for it this morning. We don't take it for granted, God. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Father, look with favor upon us this morning as we gather to hear your word. Lord, as we remember those who are suffering in all kinds of ways, and in particular, of course, God, those who are suffering from direct and indirect effects of the COVID-19 pandemic. God, touch the bereaved families, we pray, God. Strengthen them, comfort them now. Lord, for those who are dealing with this in the midst of the situation, we pray healing and deliverance for them. God, we pray that the leadership of our country would come together, that we'd be on one accord, Lord, and do what is right and what is best for all the people. Now, Father, I pray, God, for those who are yet researching, trying to figure out things here on this disease, that they would quickly come to a state of remedy and prescription for us. In the meantime, we're going to praise your name. We're going to give you all the glory. We ask, God, now that you have your way in this time with this people, and we'll be careful to give you the praise of which you alone are worthy. And with that, we say amen and amen and amen. Praise God. So again, good morning to you and welcome to another episode, another installment, if you will, of DTM Transformation Hour. We have been studying. We have been just really personally, I will say, enjoying thoroughly this particular topic of characters in crisis. Characters in crisis. We began the first week looking at, in fact, the first 3 weeks we've been looking at prophets. We're going to be here, there, and about today. But week one, we looked at Elijah, the prophet in the Old Testament, and talked about the situation that he encountered with the drought that had come about by his own word, actually, the command of the Lord through him, and how that God sent him to a widow woman who herself was in crisis up in Phoenicia, basically, in Zarephath, the town of Zarephath. And then the next week, the second week, we looked at his counterpart, his understudy, if you will, Elisha. And we looked at a situation with three kings that were in dire straits big time, right? And had come to find out that they were about to die, them and all their folks, out in the middle of nowhere in the wilderness, following this one guy. You know, sometimes we follow that one guy, and we get off track and find ourselves in trouble, in crisis. No tea, no shade. I ain't going to go there. I'm going to leave that alone, whoever that one guy is. But Israel and Edom and Judah found themselves in trouble, and God came through for them through a very odd kind of a command to dig ditches. They dug ditches. God came through. You missed it, go back and hear it. It was good. It was fun. And then last week we looked at the prophet Isaiah and King Hezekiah, who found themselves in some seriously dire straits as they were being attacked by Assyria. Assyria had already attacked and conquered other nations, other cities, and now had come to their front door. Sometimes when it's over there, you know, it's no big deal. As long as it's, you know, in Africa or in Afghanistan or, you know, in Myanmar or some other country we ain't ever heard of, it's no big deal to us. But when the crisis comes to your front door, when the crisis comes to you and knocks on your door and says, hey, I'm here for you, and speaks in your own language, in a language you can hear and understand, as we saw last week, and hollers loudly, I'm here for you, I'm about to take you down. You find yourself in crisis, and Lord, have mercy, what are we going to do? And so they did what what is good to do in those kind of cases. They sought the Lord, and in particular inquired via the prophet Isaiah, who gave instruction as to what to do and how to come out of that crisis. So in all of these situations, we can find, even though, you know, we're looking at situations that are thousands of years old, one thing I have found in looking at scripture, in observing life and people and situations and cultures and nations, is that man hadn't changed a whole lot in all this time. Human nature is still very much as it has been. And so we respond to crisis in very oftentimes the same way as folks before us, namely freaking out, you know, Lord, what is us going to do? As Pastor Marshall would say, you know, we're like, what's the answer? How do we find our way out? Are we going to survive? And folks have found themselves in that very situation here, of course, during COVID-19. Are we going to make it? Are we going to survive? Am I going to be one of the good numbers or the other numbers? You know, and for the people of God, this question has come right to their door as well. As people of faith, we have really been challenged to question what we believe. Some of us, you know, others. Now, your good religious folks are going to tell you that they were rock steady throughout the whole thing. They never have had just one iota of doubt or fear or anything from day one. Okay. I'm not that guy. I'm just going to be transparent and tell you. I've had moments during this where, wait a minute. Am I, yeah. Those questions came and went, thank God, but they did come. Entertain those for a moment. Said, what about this? And you see people in other cities dying by the thousands and tens of thousands. And, you know, it's like, man, this thing is real. Okay? So when it comes to your door, when crisis comes knocking on your front door, when it's walking through your neighborhood, then we, even as the people of God, you know, may find a little bit of trepidation, a little bit of hesitation, a little bit of doubt, a little bit of fear trying to creep up on us, stalking us, as it were. And so we have to do what these examples have shown us. And of course, Paul tells us in the New Testament that the Old Testament was given to us for example. We find in the Old Testament examples of what to do and sometimes what not to do as well, right? And so in these cases where the prophets were involved, Elijah and Elisha and Isaiah, we find some examples of what to do, of how to seek the Lord, knowing and understanding that he is near, knowing that he is concerned about our situation, knowing that he will never leave us nor forsake us, knowing that everything is going to be all right anyway. You know, I was looking at a scripture this week. It's a very powerful scripture, and it's rather a cryptic almost kind of scripture in some respects. It's in Ecclesiastes 3:15. Check it out sometime. Check it out in a couple of different versions, if you will, and maybe give yourself a little, you know, more reason to say, what is this really about? But it basically says, what has been is. What will be is. This is the way it is with the Lord. Yeah, that's one of those that just kind of things that make you go, all right? He's already seen it. Everything that is, everything that's going to be, He is never caught by surprise. He's not scratching his head wondering what's next or what he's going to do about what's next. He's been there, done that already. And this is something that, if you will allow it to be, is really comforting and strengthening for us as his people, as those who rely upon him. We can understand, hey, whatever's going on in my life, it is not something that has caught him by surprise. And so we can rely upon him. We can trust him. We can inquire of him as these Old Testament saints did, and he will come through with an answer. He will come through with an instruction. Be very careful that when that instruction comes, you are faithful to carry it out rather than question it. Now, Lord, don't seem like that made no sense to me. I don't know how that would work if, can I tell you that's the wrong response? Can I suggest very strongly to you that's the wrong response? Can I suggest very strongly to you that the thing to do when he sends you the answer, when he sends you the instruction that you've been looking for, waiting on, is to do that thing without hesitation. Jump on it. Go with it. Whether it makes sense to you or not is not the matter, not the issue. Just knowing that it is the word of the Lord to you should be enough. Yeah, straightforward, direct, do it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Good morning, Deacon Howard. Good to see you, sir. So this morning, I want to look at a number of scriptures, a number of situations. I may not even have time to give you all the scripture references. This is Transformation Hour and is what we used to call, some still refer to or think of as Sunday school. Yeah, school. As in, you are required to do some learning, some study, some digging yourself. I hope that when a good sermon comes your way, I hope that when a good lesson comes your way, that you're not those who just like, huh, that was good. At about 3 o'clock this afternoon, you couldn't tell me what it was that I said. You didn't take a note. You don't have any clue. Because you're going to need this like Thursday, okay? And where is it, right? Okay? So I hope that you are, as my dear sister Tyra is faithful to do. She said, I get some notes. She told me last week, I'm going to tell on you, sis. She told me last week that she went back and reviewed the replay with paper and pencil in hand, or pen, what have you, and was taking notes so she could get everything that God had for her. That's right, Minister Rogers. You got to go back and get everything that he has for you out of that. This is not just a convenience for you while you are shuttering in place, or however that goes, sheltering in place, I'm sorry, while you are sheltering in place, for us to pop on and make it convenient for you to get a word. It is that, but more than that, it is a right now word, hopefully, for a right now time, for right now what we're all going through. So you need to pay attention. You need to go back if you need to and replay it. Get a paper and pencil. Take a note. Listen intently, most of all, by the power of Holy Spirit in you, for the thing that you need. Listen, I'm talking to a number of people right now, a couple of dozen people right now, yeah? And more on the replay. But God has a word for every one of us individually. He has an instruction. He has something that's going to resonate with us individually that we will need. If not today, tomorrow. If not tomorrow, next week. And if you've let it slip because you wasn't paying attention in the first place or didn't take a note or didn't go back and check it out, then that's going to be on you. I'm afraid to, say, got to break it off to you like that. It's going to be on you. Don't be in that situation. Don't let that be your case. Thank you, Sister Chris Ann Coker. She's taking notes, she said. Praise God. Glad to see it. So this morning, I want to go quickly, as I'm about halfway through my time already, to look at some situations where we find characters in crisis in the Bible. And as I begin to look and explore this topic and begin to study a bit and begin to just even reminisce on scriptures that I knew or had already been familiar with, something became evident to me. And I said, maybe this is just true of people in general, maybe particularly of the people of God, I don't know. But man, I didn't have any trouble finding characters in crisis in the scripture. I did not find it hard to find characters in this word that were in crisis. And I said, okay, that's maybe a real good a real good sign right there, is that those folks are not unlike us today. Situations may be different. Maybe they didn't have COVID. Maybe they had leprosy instead. But there were crisis situations, right? And in each of those situations, as they sought the Lord, there was an answer. That's the part, you know, we can fast forward right there. Can I just say amen, pat my hands, and fast forward right there and tell you that in each of these situations, there was an answer, there was a remedy, there was an instruction from the Lord. That's the good news. Because when you find yourself in the middle of something crazy, whether it is health-related, whether it's financial, whether it's relational, emotional, mental, whatever it is, knowing that God is there, knowing that God has an answer for you, even though you are clueless at the moment, is a great reassurance. And so that is part of, that's a big part of what I'm trying to do here in this particular series. And I believe what the Lord wants to do for you in this particular series is to encourage you and to strengthen your faith and your resolve that He absolutely is here with you right in the middle of your crisis, and that He has an answer for it, that He is walking through it with you, that you are not alone. If you get nothing else from everything I've said over the past 3.5 weeks now, get that. Get that. Sister Tina Baker says she can testify to that. He's with you. He's got an answer. He never leaves you by yourself. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so I want to look at a few examples this morning. We're not going to be here long, right? I've just got like 31 minutes left, but let me slow down just a second and go through some of these. And there are many, many more. Let me tell you, there are many more than these that we're going to go over today, but I just want to point out a few for you. Some of them very familiar to you. But we need reminding, because, oh, Lord, let me tell you, it's easy to forget when your reptilian brain, your old school brain back here, your fight or flight brain kicks in and says, ah, the sky is falling. You forget everything God ever did for you. You forget every time He ever rescued you. You forget every time He ever brought you through. And you all brand new all of a sudden. And oh, nothing like this ever happened. Pull it back in. Hold on. Come on, boo-boo. Pull it back in. You're going to be all right. Okay? You're going to be okay. God has an answer for you. He has not left you. This is not the first time for Him. He's already been through this thing. He's walking back through it with you now. Right? So we looked, just as a reminder, we looked at the Old Testament and saw Elijah with the widow. These widows keep popping up, man. I think God's got a thing about widows, about blessing them. In fact, he admonishes us even over in the New Testament in the letter by the Apostle James to watch over and minister to the widow. So He's got a thing for widows and orphans and strangers, aliens that He is. He's got a thing about them. Watch how you treat them. Watch how you treat them, okay? So we saw Elijah with the widow and her son, her one son, and she was like ready to die, give it up. We find also another widow with the prophet Elisha here. And you'll recall the story perhaps. This woman was the wife of a prophet. The prophet died. Man, there's so much here. I wish I had time. The prophet died. The man of God died. Can I just pause right there? Pause on purpose for a second? Because y'all know, and I know, and some folks been scratching their heads about preachers dying, pastors dying, bishops dying of COVID-19. And, you know, you can sit and say, why, oh, why, and all this kind of thing. Or you can say, you know, where do we go from here? When this woman's husband passed away, he was a good man and a prophet. She testified to the man of God, to Elisha. Hey, you know that your servant was a good man. And yet he is gone. That's the reality of it. How many of y'all understand that bad things happen to good people sometimes? That sometimes the inexplicable happens. Sometimes things you can't explain don't have a real answer for, but it's done. It happened. What are you going to do now? Let me give you a quick scripture reference. Don't go there now. Just write it down. Check it out. This is Luke 13, maybe about the first 3-4 verses of Luke 13. Powerful, powerful. I know y'all didn't even know it was in there, but it's in there. Jesus talks about some situations where crazy stuff had happened, kind of inexplicable life stuff had happened. And he points out that, listen, you sitting here trying to figure out what were those guys really, really bad because that happened? Did bishop or pastor have some secret sin and that's why they died? And what, you know, here's another one for you. Take it down. John 9, first few verses there. John chapter 9, it's the blind man where the disciples come upon this fellow. He's blind, been blind since birth. They ask Jesus, who sinned? Who sinned that this guy is blind? Did his parents sin? Did he sin? Who sinned? Somebody sinned. I know somebody sinned. That's the only reason he would be blind like this, right, Jesus? Jesus basically says, you guys are way off base. You're asking the wrong question. You're not even in the ballpark here, fellas. This situation has occurred so that the glory of God may be revealed. He goes on to open the man's blinded eyes, of course, there, and they marvel. They're like, what just happened here? Okay? Sometimes we get stuck asking the wrong questions. Just hear me right there. We get stuck asking the wrong questions. Here this woman was, the widow woman. She's got a couple of sons. The creditors want to take her sons into slavery to pay for the debt that her husband, the prophet, has left her in. That's a whole nother subject right there. I ain't even going to get there. I'm just not even going to. The man of God is dead. He done left me with debt. I barely have money to bury this, bro. And now the creditors have come for my sons to put them into slavery. And she says to the prophet, what am I going to do? This is a real crisis. Listen, mama. When the crisis come and affect your children, okay, it's just things just got real. It's not just me. It's my kids. So, you know the story. If you don't know it, look it up. He says, what have you got? She said, man, I ain't got nothing but just a little bit of, you know, some Crisco oil up in a jar. That's all I got. A little bit of handful of meal, maybe. That's about it. He tells her to go and borrow vessels. Go and create some opportunity here for God to show up in your life. My God, I felt that all through me. Go create some opportunity for God to show up in your life. Show some faith that he's going to make a way. Lord. I wish I had about 6 more weeks. Let me just jump aside for a second. You know, some folks were trying to get their stimulus check, but they didn't have a bank account. They didn't have any place to put it. They didn't have a way to get it, you know? And if they sent them a check to their mailbox, then they got to go to find the check cashier or somebody and pay them a fee to... I'm just saying they wasn't prepared for the blessing. They wasn't prepared. They, you know, sometimes you need to make room for the thing that hasn't even happened yet. The thing that you need, the thing that you are wanting to trust God for, you need to show some sign that you believe that he's going to do it. You need to make an opportunity for him to show up in your life. My God, I'm talking to somebody. I don't know who. I'm talking to somebody right there. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Minister Rogers. I guess I'm talking to you there. Maybe somebody else too. You need to make room for the miracle he wants to do in your life. So he says, go borrow vessels and not just a few. Don't pity pat God. Don't say, Lord, I think, well, maybe you'll do something. Here's a teacup. Let's see what you're going to do, Jesus. Can I tell you, that's not the kind of faith he's looking for today? That's not the kind of faith you need to display in a crisis? She went through the neighborhood. Have you got an empty jug? Have you got a clay pot? Have you got I'm going to get everyone. Come on, boys. Help me carry this. She got everything she could get in the room. And when she got in there, she shut the door. Listen, everybody don't need to know your business. What God is doing in the back room with you here. Listen, some folk going to come out of this thing millionaires, and you're going to wonder how. How in the middle of COVID-19 did God give you a business plan? How in the middle of COVID-19 did he turn things upside down for you, and you come out of this thing financially better off than when you went in it? How is that even possible? Yeah. That right there. Uh-huh. Yeah. I hope you're listening. Faith without works is dead, Dr. Marshall said. You got to show some sign that you believe what he's telling you. Obey the instruction. She went in the back room. She got that little cruse of oil and she began to pour into the vessel. And it filled up. And she said, oh my God. Bring me another pot, boy. He brought another pot. Fill that up. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. God put her in the oil business in the middle of a crisis. She comes out with a business plan. He put her in the oil business. And so she fills all of those. And not until they were completely filled did that little cruise of oil stop. Yes, sir. He made a way out of no way. So Elijah 10 tells her, gives her another instruction. He says, sell what you need to sell to pay off your debt. That's right. Pay your debts, y'all. Sometimes he cancels them out. Other times you got to pay them. But if you got to pay them, he'll make the way to pay them. Get it straight. So he says, pay off those debts and take the rest to live on. The Widow's Oil Company. That's right. Yeah. And so life is good now all of a sudden, right? You don't know how. Her neighbors is like, wasn't they just about to foreclose on your house? Wasn't you about to declare bankruptcy when I was talking to you last week and you asked me, do I know a good bankruptcy lawyer? And what? But now what? Huh? Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Let me move on. Do you remember in the New Testament? I know y'all saying, man, he just Old Testament. Let me bring it on to the New. Here's a couple of quickies. There was, I'm going to make y'all work this week. Yeah. You can say, well, where is it? Look it up. I'm going to make y'all work. There was a centurion that came to Jesus and is a Roman centurion. So he's not even of the people of God. But he comes and he is asking, he is in respect and in faith. He approaches the Lord and he says, look, I've got a servant that's really sick and I'm in crisis. This guy means a lot to me. And I really, really, really would love for you to heal him. And Jesus was like, okay, let's go. And he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. He said, I'm not even worthy for you to come under my roof. He said, this is what I understand. I understand authority. I'm a man of authority, and I understand authority. I got people under me. I tell them, go, and he goes. I tell him, come, and he comes. He says, and on the basis of that understanding of authority, I come to you, and I submit myself, and I'm saying to you, Lord, if you just say the word, my servant will be healed. Jesus, very accommodating. You'll find that the Lord is very accommodating when it comes to blessing and healing and deliverance and that kind of thing. You know, people think they got to twist his arm, fast for 47 days and what have. I'm not against fasting. Don't get me wrong. But if you're doing so to convince him to do something that you think he don't want to do already, you're approaching this wrong. Let me help somebody right there real quick. He already wants to heal. He already wants to deliver. He already wants you financially straight. He wants your relationships harmonious. He does. So when you're asking him to do something like that, he already wants to do it. You'll find him very accommodating. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Remember that? Yeah, that's Matthew 11. So, He tells the fellow, man, that's some great faith right there. I ain't even seen this kind of faith in my own folk. Church folk ain't got this kind of faith. He says, go your way. It's all good. And you know the story, or maybe you don't. The manservant was healed. Crisis averted. Similarly, we find a Syrophoenician woman. Something about these Syrophoenicians. The woman in the Old Testament that we talked about in week one was a Syrophoenician from Zarephath. And here this Syrophoenician woman comes. Now, here, these two examples, the centurion and the Syrophoenician woman, I'm talking fast, I know, but just grab a hold of it. I want you to understand that neither one of these were the people of God. Neither one of these were good church folk. But they came in faith. They came expressing faith in the Lord. Faith in what he had accomplished already. They said, look, we know you got the goods. We know you got the goods. We're just coming to ask if you would help us out. We know. We know. Ah, look at Shannon. I'm so proud of you, sister. She said, Matthew 8. She's doing her homework. She's looking it up. Ooh, somebody going to read their Bible this week. Glory to the name of Jesus. Uh-huh. That's right. Oh, my God. Let me get back. So, Syrophoenician woman comes. She said, man, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil here. She got all kinds of issues. Please help me out. Nothing. He don't even pay attention. She ain't even there. She keeps on after him. Finally, he says, look, it's not appropriate for me to give the children's bread. I'm here on assignment here to the people of God, the Jews. It's not appropriate for me to give the children's bread to dogs. Say what? Oh, that right there would have been, we've been ready. Right there. You and me, Jesus, we're gonna go right here. You call me what? But she was in crisis. And crisis can bring about in us a certain form of humility. Some would call it desperation. That says, no matter what, I've got to get the answer that I'm seeking here. Even dogs got to eat. That's right. That's what she told him. She said, even dogs got to eat. They get the crumbs. Lord Jesus, have mercy. Isaiah 43 for somebody right there. We know about the rivers in the desert, 18:19. But after that, he says, I will make rivers in the desert, and even the jackals and the wild beasts are going to drink because I provided water for my people. See, they wasn't even the main object, but they're getting the overflow blessing. Can I tell you right now that somebody is needing the overflow blessing that God wants to give to you? Somebody is waiting on, they don't even know how to contact God. They don't even know if they're getting a prayer past the ceiling. They don't even know if God is real. But when they see the blessing on you, when the blessing comes over your cup and saucer and blesses them, let me get back. So she says, even the dogs got to eat. Come on now. Lord have mercy. And so he says, man, I ain't seen this kind of faith. She done reached forward into the future and grabbed some faith. Can I tell you right there real quick? I don't have time, but I'm going to tell you anyway. She reached past this time. He said, the assignment right now is for me to minister to the people of Israel, not to these heathens. That's coming, but it's not now. Can I tell you that faith, I'm about to blow something up right here, y'all. Get this. Can I tell you that faith will reach outside of the time that you are in? Faith will reach outside of the crisis that you are presently in to a place of answer, to a place of blessing, to a place of miracles, and bring it back to you right now? That's what happened. He says, I haven't, my God, this woman's got some serious faith. She's pulling on me. She is pulling past the cross and the resurrection. She's pulling all the way into Paul's time where he's ministering to the Gentiles. This glorious gospel of Jesus, this glorious wonder of God, this wonderful reunification of all things under the head, which is Christ. She reaching past this time and this present crisis in faith. And he says, I got to give it to her. You got to have it. That faith done pulled on me. Yeah, you got it. You got it. Faith in the time of crisis, faith right in the middle of what you're going through, faith in God and in his ability to do what is impossible otherwise. Faith that goes even beyond the time that you're in, reaches into the future when everything's good and brings it into right now. My God. I wish y'all could get it like I'm feeling it right now. Have mercy, Jesus. Minister Rogers throwing shoes at me, y'all. Praise God. It's all good. Let me move on. I ain't got but about 10 minutes and I got about 10 more characters. Lord have mercy. Let me just quickly mention a few. Can I take you back to Jesus' first miracle? Can I take you back to Jesus' first miracle? Y'all know. Some of y'all tell me what the first miracle was he ever did. See if y'all Bible students are on here paying attention. The first miracle he ever did. Facebook is slow, so I can't wait for the comments. I got to keep moving. the first miracle he ever did. Right? You remember the marriage feast at Canaan? He's invited to a marriage feast. Back in those days, man, you know, you come from near and far for the marriage feast. And it was like a 7-day occasion. Wasn't just like from 5 to 7 with a brief reception afterwards. No, this was like a week long deal. So you need plenty of wine for all the folk, plenty of food for all the folk. If you're a good host, if you know, you're really going to be like, they're going to be talking about this wedding forever because it's like, oh, Jimmy, oh, he did marvel. He, oh my gosh, that wedding was like no other. Yeah, you want that to be the story, right? So Jimmy in trouble because guess what? That's right, water to wine. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Marshall. Thank you, Sister Linda. Thank you. It's John chapter 2. Sister Shannon said, look it up. Glory to God. Amen, Sister Patricia. Yes, water to wine. So they find themselves in a crisis. Now, this wasn't a crisis of, somebody about to die kind of thing. But I want to show you because even in this crisis of, sometimes you just like, you don't want to look bad, right? I got all these folk here and I don't want to look bad. I'm in trouble. And Jesus' mom steps up. You got to love Mother Mary. I tell you, these mamas, she was on one. She's like, look, son, they're out of wine. I know you can do something about this. He's like, Mom, it's not my time yet. Mom. She's like, boy. She give him that mama look. They in trouble here, and you can fix this. Okay? So she tells the servants, whatever he says to do, do it. She turns, walks away. Jesus smiling. He said, Mama, you just gotta love Mama, right? Okay, guys, here's the deal. Because he's hearing from Father now. Take these water pots, go fill them up with these wine jugs, fill them up with water. Some estimate up to 180 gallons. These bad boys were 20 to 30 gallons each, big old barrels. And you know what happens. When the governor of the feast dips out of these water pots, it's the best wine he's ever had in life. And the party continues. And people are still talking about that particular wedding feast to this day. Right? That's what you want, right? Crisis averted. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Oh, Lord. Okay, so here's a woman with a crisis. This particular crisis, I gotta hurry. This particular crisis has gone on for a while. Sometimes you can have a little crisis, like your little hiccup in your day, like, oh man, what am I gonna, oh, okay, I'll do this. Crisis over, you're good. Sometimes crises come with luggage. I come to stay for a while. I'm gonna be here for a minute. This woman had a issue, literally. She was hemorrhaging uncontrollably with no stop in sight for 12 years. When crises come day one, day two, day 17, year one, year two, and it's still around. Sometimes the crisis has been going on for a minute. It's your own personal crisis. Nobody else even knows, and they don't care, but it's big deal to you. And she says, today, enough is enough. I've heard this Jesus has the ability to take care of what it is that I've got going on. And so she presses her way through the crowd. Y'all know the story. But in a couple of quick particulars, she wasn't supposed to be out in public. But she presses her way. A crisis will have you breaking the rules sometimes. Let me just drop that for whoever needs it. A crisis will have you breaking the rules. A crisis will have you doing unconventional things. A crisis will have you doing unprecedented things. You need an unprecedented miracle for an unprecedented situation. And she pressed her way to Jesus. She said in herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just get to him, I know I'll be made whole. You know the story. She pressed her way. She touched him. He's like, whoa, who touched me? Listen, when you are that determined, when you have tried everything else, when you have tried all the home remedies and the newfangled stuff as seen on TV, but wait, there's more. For another $9.95, we'll send you twice. You done all of that and nothing works. You tried what the girl told you at the water cooler at work. It didn't work. You tried everybody. You are in a desperate situation. It's a personal crisis, but you're determined, Sister Tina. You are determined. I'm going to get to Jesus. He has my answer. And if I got to break the rules, if I got to do something unconventional, unprecedented, I'm going to do it because that's the kind of miracle I need in this crisis. My God, today. You know what happened. He healed her. Oh, yeah. He said, your faith, there it is again, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made the difference for you. My God, today. Now, right in that same story, another crisis situation. I'm almost out of time, y'all. I told you, there's no shortage of crisis characters in the Bible. We ought to have all kinds of faith and encouragement because he has, you know, whatever your situation, been there, done that. He's seen it. He's taken care of it. Y'all know that, y'all know that the crazy series of, I think it's American Family Insurance commercials. All the crazy, never imagined before situations that they had to cover. He said, "Yep, we can do that because we've been there, we've done that. That actually happened. We covered that. Jesus already been there, done that, seen your situation. He's covered that. It's covered in the blood. It's covered in the resurrection. It's covered. It's covered. You're covered." Same situation. Woman's healed. 12 years. All good. Jesus says, let's park and hear this story. Jairus is pulling on him like, hey, my little girl is dying as we speak. I need you to come home. While girlfriend is telling her testimony of what the Lord has done for her, Jairus' servants show up and say, little girl dead. Don't even bother to teach you no more. It's over. Lord have mercy. What do you do when the message on the street is, it's too late for you? What do you do when the word on the street is, Linda Hale? Mm-mm. No, it's too late for her. Libby Williams? No, it's too late for her. That ain't going to happen. Dr. Lisa Marshall? Yeah. She looked good for a minute, but no, it ain't going to work out. No, it's too late. The devil is a liar. Jesus turns to him and says, don't doubt, only believe. In the middle of your crisis situation, if you don't remember nothing else, remember the words of Jesus himself. Don't fear, don't doubt, only believe. Only believe. Believe, only believe. You don't have time. You don't have room. You don't have the convenience of not believing right now. You got to believe. You got to believe. Listen, when it comes to your door, when it comes to your address, when it shows up in your house, when it shows up in your body, you got to believe that he is the resurrection and the life. Ask Sister Tina Baker. She'll tell you. You got to believe. Ask Sister Libby Williams. She'll tell you. You got to believe. Ask Dr. Elisa Marshall. She'll tell you. You got to believe. You got to believe. Only believe. Don't leave room for nothing else. Only believe. Lord, goodness gracious, I'm out of time. Oh, Lord. Y'all read about the man with the epileptic son. I think that's Matthew 9. Jesus up on the mountain of transfiguration. He comes back down. Here's this guy with his son. Son's flipping around, foaming at the mouth, doing all this kind of crazy cutting up. Dad says, man, he's been in the fire. He's been in the, he's tried to drown him, all kinds of stuff. It's a crisis. It's ongoing. I need some help. I tried to get your disciples to help me. Oh, Lord, I don't have time to tell you about church folks that can get in your way sometimes. I'm just going to leave that hanging out there like bad shade. Church folks that can get in the way between you and Jesus. I thought you could. I need somebody with some faith. For real, y'all. Okay. Jesus healed a boy. It's all good. Let me leave you with this. Last one. Leave you with this. Woo! And then next week, Pentecost Sunday. Next week, Pentecost Sunday. Y'all better watch out for me next week. Pentecost Sunday is on next week. Let me leave you with this one. You all know this story. Crisis, though, right? Jesus is out. He's got 5,000 men plus women and children. Arguably 15, 20,000 folk out here. He's preaching like a house on fire. It's all good. They're blessed, but they're hungry. And then they realize I'm out in the middle of nowhere and I'm hungry and I'm starting to get hangry. Y'all know hangry. That's a combination of hungry and angry. It's like, man, I wish I'd have brought some food. Man, I wish they had some food. Man, where is the food? Man, what are we going to do? Man, this guy's still talking. What? I see. On this kind of a situation, I can't see y'all. Y'all can see me. Y'all may have bacon and eggs and sausage right there. Y'all say, you go ahead and talk, Brother Mark. Go ahead and talk. It's all good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. But they didn't have that situation out there in the middle of nowhere. Oh, glory to his name. Hallelujah. What is us gonna do, Pastor Marshall? What is us gonna do? Jesus said, hey boys, help me out. They looking around, they don't see nothing but a little boy with a sack lunch. He's got 2 fish, 5 biscuits. That 2-piece ain't gonna get it done, Colonel. Not today. No, ma'am, no, sir. I need some real food for these folk. But in the middle of the crisis, Jesus stops and he looks up to heaven. The Bible says he regained sight. The Greek word is anablepo. It means to see again, to regain sight. He looked up away from the situation that he was immediately focused on to the answer in heaven. He looked from not how it is to how it should be. He looked from the natural reality into the kingdom realm. And Father God says, look, this is how you do it. This is what you do. Here's the plan. Let's go. On three. He looks back down, smile on his face. He says, okay. Thank you, Father. He says, take this bread, take this fish, begin to break it up. After you set the folks in groups of 50, little organizational note for you right there. Get yourself organized for the miracle that's about to happen. Somebody, woo, that's a word for somebody as I'm trying to close. Get yourself organized for the miracle he wants to do in your life. Get yourself organized for the miracle. You talking about, I wish I could be a missionary over and out. You ain't even got a passport. You ain't serious? You ain't ready? Get yourself organized. I wish I would just have $1 million. Where are you going to put it? You ain't even got a bank account. You don't even know an accountant. You don't even know a financial planner and you're talking about, Lord, just bless me with $1 million, and you're not ready. You're not serious. You're not organized. Organized for the miracle he's about to do. For others of you, he's about to make you a participant in the miracle. Look at the 12 disciples. They begin to break bread. They begin to break off fish. In the middle of a crisis situation. You don't believe it's a crisis? You got 20,000 hungry folk. It's a crisis. They begin to break it off. And as they break it off, there's more. There's more. There's more. There's more. The miracle is happening. I'm being able to participate in the miracle. There's a blessing on me right now. There's an anointing on me right now as I'm participating. There's an anointing on the folks who are receiving. They've gotten into an organized situation. They're ready to receive what God is doing. Lord have mercy. Let me quit. I got 10:06 here. I'm over time. We got church here in a little while. I want to tell you this morning, I just stopped by for a few minutes to tell you this morning that in the midst of your personal crisis, in the midst of this whole global pandemic that we're going through, God has an answer. Been there, done that. He is not surprised. He is not scratching his head. He has an answer. He has an instruction. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Be ready for what the Lord wants to do in your life. Open your heart wide to receive his instruction. Only believe, and he will come through for you. Guarantee. Listen, this has been Mark Dixon with Deliverance Temple's Transformation Hour. So glad for all of you this morning. I hope that you have been blessed. I appreciate you so very much for tuning in. Appreciate all the comments and the interaction and engagement. I love it. And we're going to be back here next Sunday, fifth Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, for more. God has a word for you. But you on this one in the meantime, amen? Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. God bless you. I'll see you soon.